Some of the blame for the BP oil spill shifts to Halliburton.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Maybe the British oil giant BP isn't entirely at fault for the spill in the Gulf. Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. That word is according to a panel appointed by President Obama to investigate the oil spill. The panel's chief investigator now says the contractor Halliburton was aware the cement mix it was using on the well was unstable. Overseas investors have been buying shares of BP today on that news. And Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, why do investors seem to think this is good news for BP?
Well, because it's the first concrete sign, if I can use that phrase, that BP may not be solely to blame for the disaster. Here's Nick McGregor, an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley.
Well, this is the first independent confirmation we've had of BP's view that some of the contractors involved shared liability for the chain of events that led up to the blowout in the Gulf of Mexico. And financially, this may well mean that they are now able to involve those parties in paying the bill for all of this.
But BP is certainly not off the hook. Indeed, the US Commission's chief investigator claims that BP was also aware that the cement used on the well was unstable. And it's worth noting that after an initial burst of euphoria this morning, BP's share price has drifted back a little.
Okay, so BP's share price has been up and down. What does all this mean for Halliburton? How's this going to affect them?
Well, it's not good news for Halliburton. Indeed, its share price plunged yesterday and the cost of insuring its debt soared. Now, these are still very early days. The commission doesn't report until next year. We still don't know for sure that the cement job was the main cause of the disaster. Halliburton's released a statement yesterday repeating its insistence that it was well design that was at fault. But one thing is clear. Contractors like Halliburton don't have anything like the deep pockets of BP. And it's probably safe to say now that if anyone does go bust over this, it won't be the British oil giant.
Okay, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's check global markets. European markets are lower a fraction of a percent at this hour as investors wait for the U.S. government to tell us how fast the economy grew in the third quarter. That's coming out later this morning. Asian markets down as well. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 12 points to close at 11,113. San Francisco's mild weather and generous social safety net have long made the city a haven for the homeless. But on Tuesday, local voters will decide on a ballot initiative that would ban sitting or lying on public sidewalks. Business owners are split about the idea, as April Demboski reports.
Homeless people lounging along Haight Street in San Francisco are as common as tie-dyes and head shops. Mark Weinstein owns Amoeba Music. He says most of the homeless are harmless, but a recent influx of out-of-town drifters has pushed the sidewalk population up. And he says nighttime sales have gone down.
No one really wants to go out to a commercial strip where there are a bunch of kind of unknown entities, possibly high, possibly drunk.
The proposed law would prohibit sitting or lying on city sidewalks between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. A long list of business associations, including the Chamber of Commerce, support the law. But some individual business owners are opposed. Praveen Madan owns a bookshop on Haight Street. He says the law would punish people for being poor.
Claiming that the sidewalks are only for commercial activity is just preposterous.
The city's latest count put the homeless population at more than 6,000 people. In San Francisco, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
The new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is now being organized, and there's word that consumers will eventually be able to go online to blow the whistle on defective financial products. Marketplace's special correspondent David Brancaccio has this Economy 4.0 report.
The new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, ordered up by the financial reform law, is still under construction. What we now know is that online technology is going to be a big part of the strategy so that information percolates up from the real world. Elizabeth Warren is the Harvard professor who's building the agency.
People can tell us their experiences. We can aggregate that information into usable data and begin to analyze where problems are emerging, where the hotspots are.
Some call it crowdsourcing, using internet tools so that consumers can serve as sentries in the field.
Let's also talk about crowdsourcing solutions. When people decide that there's a problem and they want to identify a lender whom they believe has misbehaved or a particular new trick that has emerged, it's not only about telling the agency, it's about telling each other.
You will have to establish trust, though, with real people out there on Main Street. You are the government, after all.
Yes, and one has to be careful in the handling of any data. We also have to pause to remember, it could be a great deal of useful information without finding out people's social security numbers or knowing exactly how much money was in their latest paycheck.
Tim Duncan of Business Leaders for Financial Reform wants to see the new bureau push for online access to credit card or mortgage agreements in case there's a dispute.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity for somebody to be able to have in one place, hopefully a couple clicks away, access to every agreement they have and what their obligations are so they can understand it fully when they need to.
Duncan says he once found himself rooting through old file boxes looking for his documents when he went to pay off his mortgage, and his lender erroneously, if not fraudulently, tried to hit him with a fee. In Washington, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And finally to Brazil, where a former McDonald's manager has won a court case against his former employer. McDonald's will have to pay the man $17,500 because he gained 65 pounds after more than a decade on the job. He says he felt pressure to ensure high-quality standards by tasting the food every day. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
During the November sweeps, television writers lay it all on the line. They write episodes that change everything. Not the kind of pressure people miss, right?
It does, however, make me fondly reminisce about my time in the trenches. And by fondly reminisce, I mean wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, it ain't easy writing for TV. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.